to feel it on my battered skin, to soak it into my broken bones, to walk up there with the others. Sunshine became synonymous with life.
He wasn't just giving me words in my head. He was somehow translating every nuance of a child's desperation, the hope, the hate, the pain. I was in that horrid, smelly, small pit, with that horrid steel door above me. Fitted so tightly, not 1 ounce of light trickled in. I was cold. I was lost. I was an animal. Everyone else got to live, but not me. I shuddered from the intensity of it. I was... Oh, like me, he'd gone into his brain. There'd been no place else to go. The boy had created lavish worlds in his head, lived in them, had replayed every detail of the wonderful, loving life he'd once had, milking it for what he needed to continue trying to survive.
Why doesn't she come for me? Why doesn't she save me?
An anguished scream, the crack of breaking bone. He'd not had the blessing of my TV, my infrequent mother, my glimpses beyond tightly drawn curtains when she'd walked out and slammed the door, gusting the drapes from the wall of the world beyond, of outside. Just endless, eternal darkness. No stimulation, incessant solitary confinement. How the bloody hell had he not gone mad?
I held on to my family in my mind. My mother was a beautiful woman, coveted far and wide. Barons was her first husband's son. When he died, two wealthy, powerful suitors vied for her hand. She chose my father and was quickly pregnant with me. I had an incredible childhood. My parents adored us. No harm touched me. If it had tried, my older brother would have beaten it senseless. But it was a lawless, barbaric time, and my father was killed in battle. Her other suitor came again, determined to possess her this time. She had never liked him, always feared him, called in friends to stand her ground with her, begging for time. He agreed to leave only if she permitted him to take her youngest son until she joined him. He said it was to foster me. We all knew I was his hostage.
I saw the man then, dark and savage, from long ago. And realized Raiden was translating things into words I could understand, because people had been so much more primitive then. Wealth didn't mean a fine home. It meant a vast tribe, furs and fire.
She never came for me because she died. Barons says she passed peacefully in her sleep of a broken heart, that losing both her husband and son was more than she could bear. I know better. A woman unprotected by a man back then was prey. I suspect those same friends that stood with her that day descended later and killed her, seizing our lands, and Barons barely escaped alive. He swore he would get me back, and he did. But that's a tale for another time, Danny. Our time may be short.
I drifted for a moment, linked to him, feeling him with all my senses. I'd never experienced intimacy like this before. So much more than our bodies touching, our minds mingling. I could taste the flavor of him. Danger, ruthlessness, savagery, fearlessness, and ferocious, unwavering commitment and loyalty. He was an animal first, pure, loyal, and territorial as a wolf. Family was everything to Raiden. He'd followed Barons around his entire existence, determined to stay together. The Nine had become his family too. He'd patiently reclaimed them each time they wandered off, moved them all over the globe for eons, following Barons as he searched for a way to free the son I hadn't known he'd had. He showed me Barons' son then, the cage in which he, and Raiden, had been imprisoned. He shared the final scene with me as well. The way the tormented child had finally been laid to rest. My eyes flew open in shock, shattering the illusion of our embrace, and I glared at him across the distance that separated us, which now seemed far too near for my comfort. I backpedaled hastily away. Are you kidding me? I cried. I'm turning into the one thing that can kill you? He shrugged, a faint smile playing at his lips.
I always said I wanted an equal, Denny. Looks like I got one.
I stared at him in horror. If my bare skin touches you and I blow you up, will you die permanently? He shrugged again.
I have no idea. I can, however, touch a hunter just fine.
He flashed me a wolfish grin.
At least then I'll get to ride you, woman, in one sense of the bloody word.
Don't joke at a time like this, I hissed. Silver ice glittered in his eyes.
For fuck's sake, Denny, unbox your sense of humor. It's one of the many things I missed most about you. Speaking of which, any time now, you can start telling me what you missed most about me. From what I understand, if you turn into a hunter, you'll be immortal. That's a plus. I don't brood. That's Baron's gig, never yours and mine.
He had a point. There were worse fates. Shazam would probably like me even more as a hunter. Bryadin and I could crack each other up for all eternity. A dragon, a beast, and a hellcat, carving out our own unique way of life together. Still, any man would eventually tire of loving a dragon.
I'm not any man,
he said quietly, as he moved to a chest of drawers and withdrew a long wooden box.
What did I tell you so long ago? Adaptability is survivability. There are ways. I didn't want you out in the streets tonight because there's something else I want you to do. Come.
He turned and walked to a table near the fire, where he removed items from the box. Inks. Needles. A complicated design etched on a piece of parchment. As I joined him, maintaining a cautious distance between us, he said,
While I can create illusion in your mind that feels real, you can't do it for me unless we complete the brand. Then the illusion will be real for both of us. Specifically,
he went on, in case I was missing the point,
sex will be indistinguishable from reality. Fuck the uncertain future. Tattoo me, Denny. Let me be a beast in love with a dragon. We can still have it all.
I stood there, doing something utterly alien to me, thinking about everything that could go wrong. Love did that to you. Messed with your brain. Made you think about things you'd never think about otherwise. I shook my head hard, scattering those thoughts. I don't invite trouble. I invite the next grand adventure. And with Riordan, it was certain to be as incredible as it was unpredictable. And if we could create a convincing illusion of intimacy? It had felt exquisitely real to me with all my senses fiercely engaged. I'd known years ago that part of the reason I chose Dancer was because of how deeply Riordan rattled me. Dancer had been easy laughter and a normal future. Riordan was endless challenge, and a future that was impossible to imagine. The future was here. I'd never had a normal life. Why would I expect a normal future? An unexpected exhilaration filled me. I wasn't losing him. We were just changing, becoming the next thing. We were good at that, he and I. It was our strength. It occurred to me that adaptability was more than survivability. It was the foundation of love. We were all changing, every day. And those relationships that endured were the ones that rode the waves together, grew and allowed each other to evolve, encouraged it, even when it was frightening. Adaptability in relationships was the polar opposite of a cage. It was necessary commitment wed to necessary freedom. He dropped backward in a chair and stripped off his shirt, his back rippling sleek and beautiful in the firelight, and said in a low, sexy voice,
Come on, Stardust. Brand your man. I've been waiting a long fucking time for this.
Your man. I liked that. Holy hell did I like that. Riordan Killian St. James had just called himself my man.
Unless you're afraid to commit yourself to a beast like me,
he goaded. I snorted. Hardly. I'll brand your ass. He laughed.
Spine. It's more effective there. But finish it, and you can do whatever you want with my ass. Just remember, turnabout's fair play.
I arched a brow. You might regret that. I was a lust-driven, uninhibited woman.
With you, no holds barred. Show me what you've got, babe.
He teased. I'd have teased back, but a sudden concern struck me. What about my blood? He'd had to mix hours to complete my tattoo. If my blood had changed, would it hurt him?
Not necessary. I tasted yours years ago.
Knowing the way his mind worked, he'd taken it just in case he needed it for one of his many linchpin theories.
Gloves are on the table by the bed.
He tossed over his shoulder. As I gloved up, I admired his wide shoulders, heavily muscled, tattooed back, tight, powerful ass and legs. He'd unbuttoned his pants, dropping them around his hips. God, he was so beautiful. At least in illusion, I was going to get to touch every inch of him soon. Let go of all that raging, caged passion I'd been holding back for so long. I couldn't wait to explore what this bond was going to do for us. He said softly,
"Intimacy on a level you can't even begin to imagine. You should know going in. I'll never remove mine. You do this, there's no turning back. We'll know each other like humans never can. You'll be able to feel me constantly. Good, bad, and ugly. It's all there. Still want to tattoo me, Danny?"
I wouldn't miss this adventure with him for anything in the world. 34. The best is yet to come. I worked all night on Riordan's tattoo, racing the clock, worried that, given how unpredictable my life is, something might happen to keep me from finishing the brand before I became whatever I was becoming. I doubted a hunter's massive talons were capable of the dexterity necessary to painstakingly ink the delicate, many-layered spell into his skin. We talked non-stop, making each other laugh, sharing stories of outlandish adventures we'd had, subtly one-upping each other and laughing at ourselves for doing it. Riordan is as self-aware as I am. Okay, maybe a little more. Thing is, we love the game we play, the way we provoke each other. We thrive on it. And that was a trait I couldn't wait to explore in bed with him. People say opposites attract, and that's true, they do, combustively and short-term. I think it's those with like minds and hearts that succeed long-term. Late that morning, as I inked the final lines of the tattoo, I inhaled sharply. I felt an instant, subtle yet pervasive connection to him that I couldn't begin to put into words, an omnipresent awareness of him on a cellular level. "Is this what you've always felt since you tattooed me?"
"To a degree. Now that we both wear the brand, it's stronger,"
he said, turning around in the chair to face me.
"You're feeling a connection to my essential energy, for lack of a better phrase."
His essential energy was comprised of a staggering amount of raw sexuality and tightly leashed hunger for everything. More life, more sex, more toys, more adventure. He was 1,000% exhilarated to be alive. All the time. Like me.
"You're on the surface. You'll always feel me now. Think of it as a bridge between us. We can stay on our own sides as we are, or we can move across it, entering each other to various degrees. Respect is paramount. If you resist my presence at any time, I'll back off. You're entitled to your secrets. You choose what to let me see. This kind of intimate connection can be beautiful or terrible. Never take, only ask. Never force, only offer. Respect boundaries."
"Always," I vowed silently. Such access was a privilege, not to be taken for granted or exploited. I expanded my senses and, as he allowed me to delve deeper, I gasped again. He was all around me, a great big sexy riding blanket rubbing up against my mind. It felt as if I was slipping deeper inside him, not perceiving him in words, but tasting him with an unnamed sense, discovering his nuances. There were no lies or deceptions here. It was open, raw, only what it was, good, bad, and ugly. No wonder he'd said we were going to know each other more intimately than people ever could. The taste of him was addictive. He was proud, strong, had often been a king during his life, determined, fiercely focused on the things he cared about, and ferociously protective of them. But he was right. He was beast first, human second. I wouldn't have believed that until this moment. So flawlessly had Riordan perfected his man's skin. His beast was savage, primitive, its law utterly self-serving. An endless roar inside that said,
I'm king of this motherfucking jungle. Everything is mine. I want it all the time.
His beast was ancient, ruthless, voracious, craved everything sensual and immediately gratifying, and it had absolutely no.
Careful. You sure you want to know that?
Soft laughter rolled in my mind. No conscience, I said, stunned. Good grief. Your beast has absolutely no morals, scruples, or ethics. Nothing even close.
Only those rules I make and enforce on it. It's an eternal battle. I usually win.
He flashed me a feral, fierce smile.
But there are times, such as war, when I get to set the beast free.
He loved those times, felt undivided in his own skin for a rare time, yet always hungered for a return to the man in his world, those he'd chosen as his family.
Danny, I feel the hunter in you.
He said quietly. And?
It's beautiful. One more time.
His silver gaze didn't say.
That's all you've got.
And I didn't say, then I'll never use it again. And he didn't say,
thank you for that.
Because we both knew I'd use it the next time it was needed. Just like we both knew he would devolve into a lawless monster the next time the opportunity presented itself. We were what we were, and nothing could change that. Love doesn't build cages. It builds stairways to the stars. Close your eyes, I said softly, ready to test just how intimate we could be. When he did, I focused on the connection between us, locking everything in the room down on my mental grid, recreating us in a private space in my mind as I closed my own eyes.
Christ, you're a natural,
he said roughly.
I'm here with you.
Because of the way I'd taught myself to use my brain, it was second nature to recreate reality in my mind. In the illusion, I stalked hungrily toward him, straddled his lap and slid my arms around his neck, staring down at him. Sexy, brilliant, pain in the ass man, and all mine. Bloody hell, he hadn't lied. I could feel every inch of his body, indistinguishable from reality.
I feel it too, now that we're both branded,
he said roughly.
Before I couldn't.
His hands slid up my waist, stopping at the curve of my breasts, thumbs drifting up to graze my nipples. I sucked in a shallow breath, jerking from the erotic contact.
Christ, you're incredible.
It was so convincing. I wondered if it would be possible to forget which version of events was true. In the real world, he was still sitting in a chair alone, while I was standing several feet away. I tested my ability to move back and forth between the reality and the illusion, stunned to find it indistinguishable. Mind-boggling.
Get your ass back here. Practice technique later,
he growled.
Fucking kiss me, woman.
I meant to kiss him with an explosion of raw, long-repressed lust, but when I raised my hands to his face, they met his skin with reverence. I thought I'd lost the ability to touch him, to feel the rasp of his beard against my palm, slide my fingers into his hair. This was an unexpected gift. I lowered my mouth to his and brushed lightly, teasing, nipping, savoring the tension coiled in his body, knowing he wanted it hard, savage, and I'd get to that in just a moment, but Bloody hell. Teasing this man sexually was something I'd hungered. My phone alert sounded.
Ignore it,
he growled. I couldn't. I had to at least look. If our world was peaceful, I could shut it off. But it wasn't, and it might be important, so I shifted back to reality with a groan, tugged my phone from my pocket, and glanced at it. Is your last name O'Malley? It was from Roisin. I winced. With all that had happened in my life, I'd not circled back to check on her. Yes, why? I need to talk to you. There's something you need to know. I'll call you. No, I need to see you. I sighed gustily, at the same moment Riordan did, and glanced at him, startled. You can see her text.
No. I picked up only that someone wanted you, and you'd made up your mind to go. When a split second ago there was nothing but sex on your mind. Whatever it is,
he said darkly,
let's get it done.
This is certainly going to make things easier. You can tell when...
Your stubborn kicks in,
he growled.
Yes, we'll both know when it's pointless to argue.
That's going to save so much.
Which means more time to fuck,
he purred, pushing up from the chair. Are you going to start finishing all?
Good chance of it. Soon you'll stop talking.
Holy hell. I don't need to anymore.
You and me. Peas in that kaleidoscopic, crazy-ass megapod of yours.
He flashed me one of those rare, full-on smiles, blazing with joy. It took my breath away. Maybe this beast-slash-dragon thing could actually work.
Never doubt it,
he said in my mind as we headed out to see Roisin. I was pleased to hear the sound of multiple deadbolts sliding when I texted Roisin to let her know we were standing outside her flat, that I'd brought company with me, and to brace herself. I looked a bit different. Still, I suppose no warning could have prepared her for the sight of me. I'd gotten my fill of shocked, startled, and frightened looks on the way over, and notched my chin higher, put a little swagger into my step. I wasn't scary-looking as far as I was concerned. Hunter Raven and Obsidian Flames looked good on me. I thought I looked downright dangerous, and oddly hot. Soft laughter in my mind.
That you do,
Riordan agreed. I sent him a wordless smile in response.
Sexy in any form, Denny. Woman or dragon.
Back at ya, badass dude. More laughter, husky with a blatantly sexual undertone. I shivered. Couldn't wait to get my illusory hands on him again. During the walk over, I'd become aware that something deep at my core was changing, transforming, caterpillar to a leathery-winged black butterfly. I could sense subtle differences in my brain I couldn't quite grasp, but it felt as if inert areas of grey matter were waking up, firing with new neurons. I could feel more raw energy pooling inside me than ever before. I loathed that the changes were taking me away from my friends, but given what Riordan and I could do with our bond, and the power I would soon have, my inevitable transformation was more bittersweet than bitter. He loved me. He would love me, no matter what I was. I loved him the same way. Love doesn't always come in tidy packages. What in the world happened to you? Roisin gasped, peering intently at me. Hazards of the trade, I told her as we stepped inside the flat, unable to keep a note of irritation from my voice. There were no rules in our world. Hadn't been for years. Who knew killing a hunter meant you would become one? Who could even guess at that kind of twist? It had been somewhere between 7 and 9 years since I'd stabbed it. What kind of transformation took that long? I said, how's your back? Healing. The bastards dragged us down the street, she said tightly. I blinked. To a mirror. It was her turn to blink. Yes. How did you know that?
Baylor took her,
Riordan said in my mind.
And she got away.
Sounds like. How had this petite woman, with no apparent magic, managed it? To Roisin, I said, tell me everything. Roisin, her father and brother, had been abducted by four men nearly a week ago. They'd broken into their home, shot them with paralytic darts, dragged them down the street, tossed them into a pile with other bodies near a mirror, then gone back out into the streets to collect more. But her abduction had taken a darker turn than mine. The men who'd collected them had been sadists, raping and torturing their captives. They'd broken her father's legs and badly beaten her brother, while she lay helplessly by, being raped again and again.
I will fucking kill every last bloody one of them,
Raiden snarled in my mind. You and me both, I returned grimly. Eventually, they'd transported them through the mirror and added their bodies to a growing mound of paralyzed, tortured humans. It was like something out of a horror movie, she said hoarsely. I couldn't move. I hurt everywhere and could only see what I was pointed at. I couldn't even shift my eyes and my head. I could hear people talking. She shuddered. The things they were saying were horrible. They hate humans and plan to eradicate us from the face of the earth. And they're not fae. Why did you ask if my last name was O'Malley? I said. Because the one behind it all, they called him Baylor, wanted you. That was what I heard right before I crawled back through the mirror. He sent a hideous little monster that could split itself up into roaches out to find you. Baylor said he was going to collect you personally. Papa Roach? I exclaimed.
The bastard keeps switching sides,
Raiden said, cursing.
I'm going to kill that fuck once and for all.
I saw a roach in my shower a few nights ago, I told him.
And you're just now telling me that?
I shrugged. I'm never certain if they're just roaches. They can't all be Papa Roach.
They are,
he growled. I frowned at him. You mean every roach in the whole world?
Yes, and he's dying the next time I see one.
Roisin stared between us. You guys already know about all of this? Not all of it, I said. How did you escape? Because of Gustane. That's what Baylor called the roach monster. Baylor had just removed the paralysis spell from a group of us when Gustane interrupted and distracted him. Her eyes filled with tears. I could move, but my father and brother were too badly injured to escape. The tears began to run down her cheeks, and she wiped angrily at them. They kept jerking their heads toward the mirror, telling me to leave. Oh, God. How do you leave the people you love like that? Yet, how do you stay? There's no point in staying. Either one of you lives, or you all die. It's a horrific choice with painful repercussions either way. I'm so sorry. I had to go. It was the only chance they had. I had to get back and figure out how to save them. But when I got back, I couldn't. I just couldn't function, and you found me and brought me here, and I slept for days. You were in shock, I told her. Your eyes were glazed. You'd been through hell, and it takes time to pull it together. I think you did it in record time. It's been 6 days, Roisin cried. Who knows what happened to them in that time? You did the best you could, I said quietly. I saw how broken you were. We're here now, and we'll get the bastard that did this, I promise you that.
Describe for us where he was,
Raiden ordered.
Omit no detail.
She began to shiver as she spoke, rubbing her arms as if to ward off a bone-deep chill. We were in some kind of huge cavern. There were, I don't know, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. But they weren't right. They were blank, looked nearly starved, like puppets being controlled, moving jerkily, and they chanted non-stop, saying Baylor's name over and over. He was building an army of humans, controlling them somehow. He takes their souls, I told her grimly. He tried to take mine. He already came after you, she exclaimed. I nodded. How did you escape? I smiled faintly. I have a few unique talents. Back to the cavern. Tell us more. She sighed. It was like those caves beneath the burn, but I could see tunnels shooting off in all directions. I got the impression we were deep below the earth. She shook her head. No, that's not quite right. They looked more like corridors that had been carved out a long time ago. Tall, made of stone blocks with high, rounded arches. There were fires in the main cavern and hundreds of ancient-looking torches bolted into the walls everywhere, vanishing down the corridors. Metal sconces, I said, using my gloved hands to sketch an image in the air. With three stems going up into cups, the size of my fist that had flames in them. Yes, how did you know that? And did those three stems shape a sort of clover? I demanded. With a bent leaf, she said, nodding. Was she fucking kidding me? Did it feel like you were in an underground city more than a cave? I said tightly. She nodded again. Yes, that's what I was trying to say. It didn't seem like a natural cave, but something that was deliberately planned.
Bloody fucking hell. That bastard is beneath the abbey.
Raiden exploded. What abbey? Roisin said. I shot him a dark look. When Baylor woke up, he never left. He stayed put in the one place he knew the Fae would never come. Building his army, absorbing power right beneath our bloody feet. That's how he got our She-Seers. They weren't abducted at Illyrium. He either took them on their way back in late at night, or simply came up and grabbed them while they slept. That son of a bitch planned to get strong enough to destroy us all while being protected by us, then kill us and go after the Fae. But wouldn't you have heard the chanting and screaming? Roisin said. Not as deep as our underground city goes, no. I'm not even sure we would have heard him in the cavern the Shisadu once occupied if the door was closed. Everything is solid rock, and most of it dozens of feet thick. Damn the Shidon for not letting us explore the underneath, I thought, as I yanked out my phone and fired off a text to Kat. Get everyone out of the abbey. We think Baylor is beneath it. I'm coming too, Roisin said instantly.
You'll slow us down,
Raiden said curtly. I agreed with him on that score and told her so. Sit tight and wait. I promise to text you the moment we kill him. We'll find your family, Roisin. I promise. I didn't tell her I was afraid there was nothing we could do for them once we did. The feeling I'd gotten from Baylor was once you lost your soul, it was a done deal. Souls weren't pickles that could be stuffed back into a jar, especially not as brutally as he'd tried to wrench mine from my body. Then there was the whole annihilating of personality facet once he had them. He'd felt like a massive pulping blender, breaking down souls into fundamental nutrients to fuel himself, as if humans were his protein powder. As we stalked from the flat, Raiden shot off a text to Christian, a second to Lore, telling him and the others to meet us at the Abbey, and a third to Barons, though I doubted he'd be joining us. Protecting Mac from Fey attack was paramount. We had this, one way or another.
You promised. You're the last resort, Danny.
Raiden reminded tightly. I nodded.
I heard that,
he snapped. I smiled faintly. Did not, I didn't say it. Boundaries, remember.
You fucking felt it.
We're going to have to make a few more rules, I said lightly. One of them is you can't hold me responsible for my feelings if I don't voice them. What he'd picked up was my unshakable sense of inevitability. As if this day, whatever was about to happen, had been aimed at me, trying to collide with me for a long time, and it was... Well, I don't believe in fate, but I do believe in actions and reactions. Years ago, I'd made an action. The repercussions from it were bearing down on me like a Cat 5 hurricane whose course couldn't be altered. I was ready. Whatever happened, next adventure.
Fearless as always.
I felt his warmth, his respect, his constant, steady love. It's all I know to be.
You're like us in that. Becoming a beast was meant as a curse. But if I could go back to that day and choose again, I'd do exactly the same. Live forever like this? Fuck yes.
I gasped. He'd never spoken to me of anything to do with his origins. Does that mean one day you'll tell me?
Tell me something you missed about me.
He evaded. Everything, I admitted finally. Half the colors vanished from my world, and I couldn't breathe right until you returned.
Say it, Stardust. I want to hear it.
I love you, Raiden Killian St. James. Any name, any form. Always. Pure joy blazed inside my soul, warming me to the core. Tucked beneath a base moulding in the living room of the flat, one of countless roaches flooding every nook and cranny of Dublin retracted its antennae and sent a silent message back to its counterparts in the cavern, letting Gustain know the auspicious news that the woman Baylor sought had been located and was headed straight for him. 35. I curse the stars that take you away. Baylor had already taken the abbey by the time we got there. We'd originally headed for the main gate, but a half mile away, we heard the chanting of thousands of Baylor's zombies and circled around to the back. We'd abandoned the Hummer behind a tall labyrinth of hedges where we now crouched, with Lore and the rest of the nine, who were already in beast form. We eased around the side of the fortress toward the battle raging on the front lawn. It reminded me too much of another battle, between the Fae and us, when I'd melted down and raced back into the burning abbey to save a stuffed animal. The night Raiden had charred himself to the bone to save me. The lawn was filled with nearly 1,000 she-seers, battling 10 times that number of Baylor's zombies, slashing and hacking their way through the crowd. It was horrific. Humans fighting blank-eyed humans. And I knew every she-seer out there was fighting their own innate instincts to do it. We're programmed to kill Fae and protect humans. Yet these humans were tightly controlled killing machines Baylor had loosed on us with instructions to destroy. Baylor himself was on the lawn. Bloody hell, he was enormous. Over 20 feet tall, clad in billowing black, lumbering through the crowd, mask shoved up on his head. That terrible, enormous eye revealed as he bent, snatched she-seers into the air by an arm as if they were dolls, drank their souls, then flung them to the ground like broken toys. I snarled, hands fisting. There was no way I was staying out of this fight. I lunged forward, only to feel Raiden's hand close on my wrist like a manacle.
You promised.
My sisters are dying.
Give us a chance. Kill him!
Raiden snarled. He surged forward, transforming effortlessly, and 8 beasts melted into battle, determined to take Baylor down. Scowling, hands fisted, I stayed melted into the side of the abbey, holding my breath, feeling raw power roiling inside me, demanding to be used, demanding that I do what I was born to do.
I heard that.
He snarled.
Stay put.
Then the 9 exploded out of nowhere, vaulting airborne, landing on the titanic god, ripping with lethal fangs at his flesh. I knew which one was Raiden. I could feel him now. And as I watched, he hurled himself into the air and went straight for Baylor's face, primal jaws wrenching impossibly wide, closing on the god's flesh, fangs sinking deep. Baylor roared, kicking and swatting at the many beasts tearing into him, howling with rage and pain. Abruptly, he focused solely on Raiden, closing enormous hands around his throat and squeezing. My heart clenched. I could feel Raiden's pain as those massive fists closed tighter and tighter. Felt like I couldn't breathe too. Could feel that whatever Raiden usually did to kill the Fae wasn't working on Baylor. Get off him now, I thundered inside Raiden's head. Get all of the 9 off him. It's not working. But Raiden sank his fangs deeper into Baylor's face, despite the horrific sense of strangulation I could feel him suffering, ignoring me, and I suddenly understood he was trying to drain the life force from the god, the way barons had sucked the sheaths of dew from the unseelie princess's body, and I knew, at the precise moment he did, that it wasn't working. Whatever gods were made of, it wasn't the same as Fae. The Nine couldn't kill them. It didn't surprise me. I'd had a strange, unshakable sense of fate riding me like a bitch all day. I was willing to bet I could. I inhaled deep and slow, embracing my power, calling to the hunter within, beckoning, welcoming it. Fill me. Take me. I'm ready, I willed. Whatever the price. Energy slammed into me like a fist to my heart, and my entire body bristled electric. I couldn't get a shot at the god with the beasts in the way without taking one of them out, and although they'd return if Baylor killed them, there was a good chance they wouldn't if I hit them with a hunter bolt. "Get everyone off Baylor," I snarled at Riordan. "Now," I said. I could feel every emotion he was feeling. Fury, grief, rage, sorrow, denial. He didn't say, "I'll miss that beautiful body of yours," although I felt it. And I didn't say, "I'm afraid you won't keep loving a dragon," although he felt it. We're both too pragmatic for that. We do what needs to be done. As the Nine dropped away, as Riordan tore himself from Baylor's grasp, I quit being the wallflower I simply can't be, and strode into battle with fire in my blood, war in my heart, and extreme high voltage in my veins. My first lightning bolt caught Baylor in the chest, slamming him backward, nearly taking him off his feet. The power inside me felt so much bigger now, and I knew, with soul deep knowing, that there was no coming back from it this time. No second chances. I was going to be a hunter when this was through. Roaring, Baylor spun to face me, stabbed me with that lethal, soul-sucking gaze and began to tug at my soul. To my surprise, nothing happened. I couldn't even feel him trying to take it. I'd moved beyond his reach. Guess I wasn't quite human anymore. I saw the look of astonishment on his face and laughed as I stalked nearer, shoving his zombies out of my way. I slammed him with bolt after bolt, in his chest, in his face, singeing and charring him, yet that damned eye remained unaffected. Then the bastard dropped the mask back down over his eye, and I heard Riordan say,
"It's not enough, Danny. You're not letting go. You have to let go of everything. Become the next thing."
He didn't say,
"Let go of me."
But I heard it, and he was right. I was still resisting with a tiny part of me, not wanting to become something that would forever separate me from the people I loved. I had to embrace the transition fully, accept that I was dying so a new me could be born.
"Love you, Stardust. Always. Across space and time. No ending. New beginnings."
Sorrow wailed inside me. This was not what I'd planned. This was not the life I'd wanted for myself. I wiped angrily at tears icing my cold black cheeks. "New beginnings," I sent back along our bond, with a wordless expression of how I felt about him, how I'd always felt about him. He inhaled sharply and cursed.
"Fuck. Shit. Goddamn woman. You show me that now."
It was now or never. Every second I wasted was potentially another Shisir's soul. I flung my head back and threw my hands up to the sky, calling down power from the heavens. I poised on the brink of becoming something else, something so alien I couldn't even fathom it. But it was time, and it was my destiny, and the stars awaited. "I am Hunter," I roared silently. "I accept. I want this. I commit." My body raged with raw high voltage. I became high voltage. I quivered electric with unspeakable power, focused and hurled it all at Baylor's eye in one furious bolt. The god's head exploded in a shower of... 36. I would always open up the door, always looking up at higher floors. Stars. Millions, maybe trillions of them, glittering on a vast, eternal black palette. I was soaring at superluminal velocity, headed straight for a fantastical pink, gold, purple, and orange cluster of nebulae. This time was different. In the past, I'd always felt oddly disembodied. I didn't now. I flexed my hand and glanced down. I had a hoof of sorts with black talons. It was steaming like dry ice, leaving a trail of sparkling frost in my wake. I glanced back over my shoulder and simply stared for a long moment. I had the body of an enormous, black, leathery-skinned and scaled, icy, majestic dragon. Holy hell! I was a hunter! I glanced right and left to see my beautiful wings. Though I'd known it was going to happen, knowing wasn't the same as seeing. I was no longer human, and never would be again. This was my body now. I focused on curving one of my wings. It not only obeyed, it nearly sent me into a tailspin. I snapped it rigid and pulled out of it moments before crashing into a small meteor sailing by. Oh, God! I was in space! I was a hunter! It was too much to process. I'd been too quickly ripped out of one reality and crammed into another. My body was gone. My red hair, my arms, my legs, all of it, just gone. Forever. I would never lace up sneakers on my feet again. Never slip into a sexy dress and high heels. Never gorge on Pop-Tarts or access my brand of the slipstream. Never pet Shazam with a hand. They say we deal with death in stages. I always thought I'd belly up a laugh and plunge into it fearlessly, but now I felt appallingly normal for the first time in my life, as I flashed instantly to denial. I can't be this. Send me back, I protested. My words came out as a deep, resonant gonging, not words at all. Where were the hunters? They'd come in the past. Why weren't they here now? Anger reared its fiery red head. You can't do this to me. I had a life. Silence. In case they were nearby listening, I moved to the next stage, bargaining. Please, I just need to see Ryadin one more time. And I need to tell Shazam what happened. I'm not ready.
You wouldn't be here if you weren't.
The voice echoed inside my head, and I turned to find a great black hunter dropping into flight pattern beside me. A huge hunter, 20 times my size. I was tiny in comparison. It chuffed with laughter.
You've just been born. What did you expect? It will be eons before you're fully grown.
I blinked, suffering a mind-bending disconnect. Part of me was still human, back on Earth, torn from battle, desperate to know if I'd succeeded in killing Baylor, desperate to see Ryadin and Shazam, to know which of my sisters I'd lost. Another part of me was simply stupefied, trying to process and accept that I was a hunter now. I had a new body that, fortunately, seemed to understand instinctively how to fly itself. Where did my other body go? I boomed. The hunter snorted a tendril of fire.
Silly question. Part of you.
I need to know if I killed...
Baylor is dead.
How do you know?
I've been watching you.
I turned my dragon head and peered into its fiery orange gaze. Why?
Protecting you. We nest our eggs.
I'm not an egg, I said indignantly.
You were. Now you're hunter.
You mean because I stabbed one? Is that the deal? If someone kills a hunter, they have to become one.
Have to? Hardly. Hunter is a privilege. We don't birth children. We choose them. Our chosen must then choose to become one of us or not. You could have walked away at any point. You chose not to.
I blinked, pondering that, unable to argue. I have a fatal flaw. More weapons to protect my world seduces me. I'd hungered for the gargantuan power of a hunter. I'd been enticed by the possibility of such astronomical adventures. In a deep, wordless place inside, I'd been insatiably curious about what was happening to me. It's always been one of my downfalls, leading me from one extreme situation to the next. During the past 2 years when I'd been so alone, I'd have plunged headlong into the transition. But my family was back. I was in love. I had a life and a world and a Hellcat that needed me.
Each time you turned black, you didn't reject it. You found it curious, intriguing. When you began to transform, you welcomed it. Always staring up at the stars. That's what I felt in you the day you stabbed me. You're made of stardust, destined for the skies. You belong here, with us.
I gaped at the giant hunter that seemed somehow feminine to me. You're the one I stabbed? She turned her head and smiled, thin black lips peeling back from saber teeth, and bobbed her great leathery black head.
I am Uriel. I have been waiting to see if you would become one of us for many years, keeping you alive when I could.
If a dragon could look abashed, Uriel did then.
I broke many rules for you, Danny O'Malley.
I thought I killed you.
Can't. We die only if we choose to become the next thing.
What? I demanded suspiciously, wanting to know just what was in store for me next.
It is within us to one day become planets. Your Earth was once a hunter. You, Danny O'Malley, are one of our chosen. It is a great honor.
But my people? I peered down through space, seeing only unfamiliar moons and worlds. No sign of Earth. I had no idea where I was. No real concept of up or down. It was disorienting in the extreme.
It will soon feel natural, and they are still your people if you wish,
Uriel said. You mean, I can return and live among them as a hunter? I clarified. I fully intended to.
You may also live among them as a human, half the time.
I have no idea what I did then, because I didn't have the hang of my new form, but I gave an explosive, whole-body jerk, and suddenly I was rocketing through space in a dizzying tailspin, head over tail. Holy leaping lizards, I had a tail! A long, black, leathery one.
Stop fighting it,
Uriel said, chuffing softly.
You can't muscle things up here. Easy. Smooth movements, small one.
I tried. I really did. Focused on merely the tips of my wings. But I was tumbling so fast and out of control that every move I tried to make generated intense friction and I couldn't. Dragon teeth plucked me out of freefall by the nape of my neck. Like a kitten or something, I thought crossly. Good grief. Did I really have to be a child all over again?
You will learn,
Uriel said, chuckling.
Enjoy it. Unlike your human childhood, this one will be grand, with endless universes to explore and no cages. Ever.
Half the time? I shouted the moment I had my bearings again. I get to be human half of my life, like Persephone? I get my body back?
I do not know of her, but yes. However, if you fail to spend half your time as a hunter, you will lose the privilege of being one. Most of us choose to remain hunter. Few ever return.
Why not?
Loved ones pass. Planets die. This is home. Everything is here. We are Nightwind fly high free. There is no place more majestic, no greater freedom to be found than among the stars. You hunger for freedom. I tasted your mind when you stabbed me. You were already one of us. Sky-high dreams, no limits. You despise limits. We have none.
I wasn't hearing much past that I could be human again. This wasn't death. This wasn't permanent. I was like Raiden and his beast. I was both woman and dragon. Holy hell. This was the best of both worlds. Better than anything I could have imagined. I hadn't lost anything. I'd gained. Fully human, I pressed. As in, not lethal to the touch?
You will be as you were before you began to change. But it will be some time before you can shift forms. You must bond with your new skin. The more often you shift, the more skilled you become. But that first time is terribly difficult. It may take many years.
Years? I exploded, bristling. That was unacceptable.
He is immortal, small one. He's not going anywhere.
It hit me then. I couldn't feel Raiden anymore. I arched my, good grief, long, scaly, black neck to peer over my shoulder, but I couldn't see my back. Do I have a brand on me? I demanded.
Your skin is new. Nothing of his mark remains. Trinkets do not survive transformation.
I exhaled gustily, startled to see tiny dark ice crystals puffing from my mouth. As I realized, Raiden must have felt our connection sever abruptly and had no idea what happened to me. So much for our plan to love each other in illusion. It wouldn't have worked anyway. But it didn't need to. I could be a woman half the time. Exhilaration filled me. This was incredible. I was a woman who could become a dragon. And become a woman again. But Raiden, Shazam, my friends, I had to tell them. Take me back to Earth, Yuril. You can teach me to shift there. I'm a fast learner. I was practically vibrating in the air with excitement. I'd soar back to Earth, tell Raiden and Shaz what had happened, then hang out with them, learning all about my new form. Damn. Raiden's beast had nothing on me. I could feel my hunter lips stretching into a smile as I beamed radiantly. I was badass, the most awesome superhero I could possibly be. If I'd known going in this was what was waiting for me, I'd have embraced it sooner.
Give your new world a chance. It will all be waiting for you when you return. Where did that child I felt when you stabbed me go? The one who couldn't wait for the next adventure? It's here. Look around. Is it not magnificent?
Yuril, Shazam will fall apart without me. He'll melt down. He's so emotional and he doesn't know where I am. He doesn't have anyone to take care of him. I have to go back. Show me how to get back. Yuril chuffed softly.
Shazam is fine, Tiny Red.
I jerked to a sudden stop and stared at her. What did you just say? I gasped. Yuril said tenderly,
Shazam is fine.
After that, those ferocious eyes gleamed with amusement.
Tiny Red.
Yuril said she'd been watching over me. But you're a she, I said faintly, trying to bend my mind into a shape it simply refused to achieve. Shazam is a he.
You're the one ascribing genders. We have none.
Yuril smiled then, and I suddenly understood what Shazam's smile had always reminded me of, which I'd never been able to place. Thin, black lips, pulling back from sharp teeth. Same utterly alien expression. Shazam's smile had reminded me of a hunter. Chills suffused my entire body. No way. Not possible. I said slowly and carefully, Yuril, what were you before you became a hunter?
Before I was chosen for this by a great dragon soaring among the stars, drawn by my cries of loneliness and longing for a home, I was once the last remaining Hellcat in existence.
Yuril's eyes flickered with violet lightning.
My beloved Yi-Yi.
37. Shaz, the mighty fur beast. Yuril was Shazam. I just lost.